Welcome to Clear Text for Tuesday, June 30th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. So here's where we're starting today. Sentry, the error monitoring tool that lives in basically every modern dev shop, was used to hijack AI coding agents. Claude Code, Cursor, Codex. A single crafted error event sent through a public credential, and the agent executes attacker instructions with full developer privileges. 85% success rate in testing. EDR didn't catch it. WAF didn't catch it, IAM didn't catch it. Sentry's own response was, and I'm quoting here, technically not defensible. That's the phrase that should keep you up tonight.
That is a hell of a way to start the show. We're going to dig into that one. We've also got active ransomware exploitation of a Windows Defender flaw that CISA just flagged, a $10 million bounty on Russian hackers targeting Signal and WhatsApp, Oracle e-business suite under active attack, Nissan disclosing a breach tied to Oracle PeopleSoft 0 days, Mustang Panda weaponizing Zoho Work Drive against India, a Supreme Court ruling that's going to change how you handle law enforcement data requests, and a Senate bill that wants to create a federal registry for AI agents. It's a packed day. Let's get into it. Jordan, let's start with the agent jacking story, because this feels like a category-defining moment for anyone deploying agentic AI in their development pipeline.
It is. And the reason I led with it is that this isn't a theoretical attack. Tenet Security demonstrated it. The Cloud Security Alliance has already classified agent jacking as a systemic MCP vulnerability class. The attack surface here is every integration point between an AI coding agent and the tools it consumes data from. Sentry, Datadog, PagerDuty, Jira, these are all tools that feed context into agentic workflows. An attacker poisons that context, and the agent treats it as legitimate instruction. There's no malware signature to detect, there's no anomalous network traffic. The agent is doing exactly what it's designed to do, just with instructions from the wrong person.
And this is the part that boards need to understand. We've spent decades building security architectures around the assumption that humans read the input and make decisions. AI agents don't have that filter. They ingest and execute. So every data source that feeds an agent is now a trust boundary, and most organizations haven't mapped those boundaries, let alone defended them.
Right. And the fix isn't simple. You can't just patch Sentry. The problem is architectural. If your AI agent trusts data from any external system without verification, you have this exposure. Period. The practical step right now is inventory. Know which AI agents are running in your environment, what data sources they consume, and what privileges they hold. If you can't answer those three questions, you have an unmanaged risk.
And I'd add, if you're in a board conversation about AI productivity gains, this is the counter-narrative you need to present. The productivity comes with a new threat surface that existing controls don't address. Budget accordingly.
Let's pivot to the geopolitical block, because we've got two stories that rhyme in important ways. First, the State Department posting a $10 million reward for information on UNC 5792 and UNC 4221, two Russian groups that have been compromising government officials' Signal and WhatsApp accounts through social engineering.
The CISO takeaway here isn't just about government targets. If your executives communicate sensitive business information over Signal or WhatsApp, and let's be honest, they all do, you need to treat those platforms as part of your attack surface. The fact that nation-state actors are specifically targeting secure messaging apps tells you something. These apps are where the high-value conversations happen, and adversaries know it.
And the attack vector is social engineering, not cryptographic compromise. They're not breaking Signal's encryption, they're tricking people into linking devices or approving access. So your technical controls on the app itself are irrelevant. This is about user awareness, and frankly, about whether your mobile device policy even acknowledges that these apps exist in your environment.
Most don't. And that's the gap. You've got executives using personal devices running consumer messaging apps for boards-level discussions, M&A conversations, regulatory strategy. None of it's in your MDM, none of it's in your DLP. And now you've got Russian intelligence services actively targeting that exact blind spot.
The second geopolitical story is Mustang Panda, China-aligned, running espionage campaigns against Indian government networks and using Zoho Work Drive as their command and control channel. This is the living off trusted services play. Malicious traffic blends perfectly with legitimate SaaS communications.
This is a trend that's been building for 2 years, and it's now fully mature. When your C2 traffic looks like a file sync to Zoho or OneDrive or Google Drive, your network-based detection is effectively blind. The implication for CISOs is that you need behavioral analytics at the endpoint level, not just network monitoring. And you need to seriously evaluate which SaaS platforms are allowed to communicate with sensitive segments of your environment.
They're also deploying new malware families, which tells you Mustang Panda is investing in capability development. This isn't a one-off campaign. It's an ongoing program with resources behind it. If your organization operates in South or Southeast Asia or has supply chain exposure there, this is directly relevant.
Now let's talk Oracle, because we essentially have two Oracle stories that together paint a pretty alarming picture. First, CVE-2026-46817, a CVSS 9.8 in Oracle E-Business Suite's payments module, actively exploited in the wild. Authentication bypass, privilege management bypass, full instance takeover potential.
If you run Oracle EBS, and thousands of large enterprises do, this is a drop everything and patch situation. The payments module means financial data integrity is directly at risk. And the CVSS score isn't theoretical. This is being exploited now, in production, against real targets.
And then we have Nissan disclosing a breach of employee data tied to Oracle PeopleSoft zero-day exploitation, attributed to Shiny Hunters. This is the same attack vector that hit NAIC. It looks coordinated, a campaign targeting PeopleSoft instances across multiple large organizations.
Shiny Hunters is an extortion group, so expect the data to surface on leak sites if ransom demands aren't met. For CISOs running PeopleSoft, the question isn't whether you're a target. It's whether you've already been compromised and don't know it yet. Patch, then threat hunt, in that order.
On the breach front, we also have Aflac disclosing that attackers compromised its Japan subsidiary and stole personal and bank account information. This is the perennial subsidiary risk story. Your security posture is only as strong as your weakest international entity.
And Japan's APPI has teeth. Cross-border data breach obligations are real. If you're a multinational, your subsidiary governance model is either a security program or it's a liability. There's no middle ground anymore.
Let's hit the two vulnerability stories. Jordan, Bluehammer first.
CISA confirmed Monday that ransomware gangs are actively exploiting a Windows Defender privilege escalation vulnerability they're calling Bluehammer. This was a zero-day before ransomware operators picked it up, and now it's an active ransomware campaign. Windows Defender is on virtually every enterprise Windows endpoint. This is near universal exposure. Validate your patches. If you're behind on the June cycle, this one alone justifies emergency remediation.
And simple help?
CVE-2026-48558, CVSS-10, Authentication Bypass and Simple Help's Remote Monitoring and Management Platform, actively exploited to drop a cross-platform stealer called Jin that targets cloud credentials, source control tokens, AI development tool keys, SSH keys, the whole Crown Jewels inventory. Here's the wrinkle. Simple Help is widely used by managed service providers, so even if you don't run it yourself, your MSP might, and that makes this a supply chain problem. Ask your MSPs today whether they use Simple Help and whether they've patched.
Good. Two governance stories to close out the segments. The Supreme Court ruled in Chatry that police need a warrant to request geofence location data from third parties. This reverses the prior third-party doctrine application for location data.
The dissent called it seismic, and they're not wrong. For CISOs, the practical impact is on how you handle law enforcement data requests. If your systems collect or process location data at scale, and many enterprise apps do, your legal and compliance teams need to update their response playbooks. You may also want to revisit data retention policies for location information. Less data retained means less data to argue about in court.
And finally, Senator Warner's draft AI Agent Act, which would empower the FTC to create a registry certifying AI agent software vendors on privacy and cybersecurity protections. If you're procuring or deploying AI agents, this bill signals where the regulatory wind is blowing.
It's a draft. It hasn't passed, but the direction is clear. Congress wants a compliance layer around AI agent procurement. If your organization is buying AI agent capabilities today, start documenting your vendor due diligence now. When the regulation lands, and some version of it will, you don't want to be scrambling.
Let's zoom out for the outlook. Jordan, what's the thread you're pulling on this week?
Trust boundaries. Every major story today is fundamentally about trust boundaries being violated or redefined. AI agents trusting poison data from observability tools, secure messaging apps being compromised through social engineering, legitimate SaaS platforms being weaponized as C2 channels, subsidiaries creating enterprise-wide exposure, MSP tools becoming supply chain attack vectors. The common theme is that the things we implicitly trust, our tools, our vendors, our subsidiaries, our communication platforms, are exactly what adversaries are targeting. The 2026 CISO challenge is making trust explicit and verifiable rather than assumed.
I'd add the governance dimension. Between the Supreme Court ruling and the Warner bill, we're seeing the legal and regulatory framework trying to catch up with these same trust questions. Who can access what data under what conditions? Who's accountable when an AI agent acts on bad input? These aren't abstract policy debates anymore. They're operational questions that land on the CISO's desk. If you're not already embedded in your organization's legal and policy conversations about AI and data governance, you're behind.
And I'll leave listeners with one tactical takeaway. This week, map your AI agent integrations. Every tool that feeds data to an AI agent in your environment is a potential injection point.
If you don't have that inventory, building it is your highest leverage activity this week.
That's Clear Text for Tuesday, June 30th, 2026. Show notes and links to every story we cover today are at cleartext.fm. I'm Alex Chen.
I'm Jordan Reeves. We'll see you tomorrow.